the line in the Apostles' Creed. We've been in this series on the Apostles' Creed for quite some time now. We've gotten to this statement: I believe in the Holy Catholic Church and the communion of the saints. So we're going to be talking about this morning. And like John referenced, I've done a lot of preparation for the sermon. To be honest with you, probably more than I've done for any other sermon I've ever preached, ever. I've been researching and studying for weeks. And actually, I just brought my notebook. I have pages and pages and pages of notes. This isn't me bragging in any way. It's for a purpose. I've done so much research on this topic of what is a church, and I've came up with this great sermon to deliver today. And then the Lord got a hold of me in a fresh way, in a significant way. And he was like, yeah, that's not really the sermon I want you to preach, Keith. And so if anybody wants my notes, you're welcome to have them. And it's funny because if you were at the Weekend Away, you'll remember Paul saying that a couple times. He's like, I have all these great sermons and all these great teachings. And he's like, I got tons of notes and I got all the audio on MP3s and you can have them if you want. So, yeah, you're welcome to check that out. And I'm not discrediting that. There's a lot I learned from that. And there's a lot the Lord showed me through that study. But he sort of has thrown me a curveball and thrown us, I believe, a curveball this morning as we look at the church. As I was studying the Apostles' Creed and praying and preparing for this message, I found myself asking God a lot, just so you know. That's capitalized. A lot of questions. Lots of questions. And the more I read and the more I said aloud this line of the creed, the more I realized that I was actually proclaiming my belief in something. Do you realize that? That's what the whole creed is, isn't it? I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe. Right? And, but it just, you know, I know that, but it really hit me hard. Like, I believe in the Holy Catholic Church and the communion of the saints. And it could be said for any line of the creed, but what is it that I'm saying, that I'm proclaiming with my lips as I read that I actually believe? And do I know what it is I believe? Because it's one thing to just spout off a creed and just say it. Anybody can do that that's able to read. Isn't that right? We can say we believe things till we're blue in the face. And as I read it over and again, I believe in the Holy Catholic Church and the communion of the saints. I believe in the Holy Catholic Church and the communion of the saints. I was just like, what in the world do I believe about the church? What do I believe about the church? And I realized for me that I have, and I think we all have, a lot of misconceptions about what the church actually is. I think we have way more than we would like to admit, to be honest. I know I do. So I decided this. I decided to begin a journey of figuring out what it is I really believe about the church. And I would love to tell you this morning that I've arrived. I'd love to tell you that I have all the answers, but I don't. Actually, I have more questions now than when I started. And let me just pause there for a minute, because we have this idea, I think, in the church, like that the guy who's delivering the sermon, like he's going to have all the answers about whatever it is he's talking about. Anybody who delivers, who preaches the word and who postures themselves in that way is called proud. I'm just going to say it like it is. Anybody who delivers a word and postures their heart towards the Lord and towards a people in that way is called prideful before the Lord. Because they don't have all the answers. I don't have all the answers. You know what? For far too long, the church has been dependent on the guy with the microphone on the platform doing a bunch of teaching. For far too long. And we precariously try to live our lives in Christ through that person, through that person's teaching. And the reality is that it sounds really good. And we're like, yes, amen. And then we get to the end of the service and we go up to the preacher and we're like, that was a good message. And if that preacher was to say, yeah, what did you like about it? We'd be like, well, I don't know. I don't remember any of it, actually. We've heard so much teaching, so many different messages. And how much of it do you really remember? I mean, I'm not trying, let's just be honest. How much of it do you really remember? Now, I'm not saying it's bad. I'm not saying it's wrong. It's good. It's part of the church. I understand that. But these are some things I've been pondering. It's a little side note there. So I would love to tell you I have all the answers, but I don't. And I have, like I said, I have more questions than when I started. This is what I see. I think that there are short journeys. Now, hear me out. I think there are short journeys and there are long journeys, right? In travel, there's short journeys you can take and there's long journeys you can take. But when's the last time that you found yourself excitedly telling a friend about your 10-minute bus journey into town? I've been experimenting with the bus lately. I like it. It's fun. Been going into town on the bus. I actually did tell Brittany I like the bus. But it's not like passionately excited about, oh my gosh, the 10-minute bus journey was amazing. You know, it's like we don't really get excited about short journeys. There isn't anything really fascinating about a routine short journey. However, how many of you have heard about Steve's journey to Nepal? How many of you have heard about Sandra's journeys to the Ukraine? Or John and George's journey to Kansas City where they met this weird bald American guy and his really good-looking wife? Or how many of you guys have heard about Brittany and I's journey from America to Salford, England? You know, those are longer journeys, aren't they? There's something that stands out about them. But why is that? Why do we remember that? Why does that fascinate us? Because long journeys are fascinating. The layovers, the delays, the turbulence, and the jet lag may be exhausting at times, but these little nuisances are soon overshadowed by the thrill of that jet hitting the final runway. But here's the thing. Our journeys don't end there, do they? When we go on holiday and that plane lands, is that not when the journey begins? Do you understand what I'm saying here? That's when the journey begins. Now, what I'm saying is this. The church today, for the most part, we have this short-sighted view of what it means to be the church. And so, it's like become like a McDonald's restaurant in some ways. Where, you know, or a Burger King in the States, if you've ever heard of Burger King, their slogan is, have it your way. But it's become like a fast food restaurant where we come in to a building. We look at the menu. We order what we want. And we've made it all about what we want and our preferences being met within the church. And about hearing a good teacher and hearing all these good messages and making sure this is good and making sure that is good. And all these different things. There's all different things for all different ones of us. And in that, we've consumed, I think, a short-sighted view of what the church is. And we've relied, I think, too heavily on things that really don't matter. I know I have. And not heavily enough on things that really do matter. I'm not sure that I'm being completely clear this morning. Is this making sense, what I'm saying? I just want to make sure. Okay. I just think this is what I feel this morning. I feel like we need to get delivered of this short, routine journey Christianity. And I think that we need to get a vision for the fascinating journey that God wants to take us on. I think we need to get delivered of this short-sighted, microwave, fast food culture Christianity where we just come in and have it our way and we just say we believe but don't know what it is we believe. And I think we need to start to get a vision for something deeper, something more, something profound. I mean, we serve the risen Lord. We serve the Creator of all things. He is majestic. He is glorious. He is beautiful. He is far more than we've made Him out to be. He's worth far more than we've been willing to give Him. Because we give Him lip service and we say we believe, but we spend very little time cultivating that relationship on our end and coming to know Him. There's a difference. I've said this before, but there's a difference between saying you believe. There's a difference between believing and knowing. There really is. There's a difference between believing and knowing. I just got turned down a lot. I am loud. That happens to me every single time I preach, so I've become used to it now. It's just what happens when I get up here and I hold a microphone. But I can't even hear myself now, but that's okay. It's fine. I probably don't even need a microphone, actually, because I'm so loud. But, yeah, we need to get delivered of this short routine journey Christianity and get a vision for the fascinating journey that God wants to take us on. It's not enough to just say we believe anymore. It really isn't. It's not enough to just say we believe anymore. You know, let me just pause there. But part of the, I won't get into this, but part of the Protestant Reformation, part of most people's exodus from the Catholic Church was the fact that they had to live that through somebody else. I'm just scratching the surface. There's much depth to this, obviously. But they had to live the relationship with God through somebody else. They said they believed. And I know many people who are Catholic today who say they believe, but I'm like, dude, your life does not suggest in the least bit that you have any idea who God is. And furthermore, you don't have a personal relationship with Him and you don't want to talk to Him. You have no desire to spend time with Him. You have no desire for His Word. What does that say? You go to a building, you say you believe, but you actually don't know God. And that's not true of every person who's Catholic. I'm not trying to make a broad statement here. It's even true in our church. That's the reality. It's the unfortunate reality. I'm going to say it one more time. We need to get delivered of this short routine journey Christianity and get a vision for the fascinating journey that God wants to take us on. It is not enough to just say we believe anymore. Even the demons believe. You guys know that verse, right? Even the demons believe and they tremble. The demons believe in God. They know He's real. They know the Word probably better than most of us. The book of James teaches that our profession of belief or our faith without action is dead and meaningless. Simply stating we believe without ever giving ourselves over to actually getting to know our God just doesn't make any sense. Living a life where we profess belief, but we never actually invest ourselves into the relationship on our end and go on a journey of getting to know this fascinating God that we serve, is a complete disservice to we're doing ourselves a complete disservice if that's how we approach this thing. We really are. Now, I know I sound intense. I am intense. I'm an intense person. I know this sounds crazy. I'm crazy. God's crazy. I know it does. I want you to know that I'm saying this in love, and I'm saying this from a place where God is encountering me personally as it relates to this. So if you're feeling like convicted or if you're feeling like a struggle with some of the things I'm saying, it's because God's goodness leads to repentance and He's probably doing what He's been doing for me, for you, because He likes to do this. Far more than I want to preach a good sermon and see you get delivered from something or see myself get delivered from something, the Holy Spirit wants to search the deep things of the Father and reveal them to you and go ahead and lead you to that deliverance. So I just want to be clear on that. I know it's intense. I know it's in your face a bit. But I'm saying this from a place of love. And I believe from how the Lord has been leading me. Like I said, I've scrapped my entire sermon to go this direction this morning. So I think it's time for us to repent of our dead and lifeless religion. And instead say yes to the fascinating journey of truly getting to know God. This is what God desires. He wants us to embark on that journey, to be thrilled by the long haul. See, we want it quick. We want to read the Bible and we want to go, boom, like, I get it. But how many of you know that, like, this is a doorway into encounter with the living God? Every word, every phrase, every verse, every chapter, every book, a doorway in into encounter with the living God. And so often we read it like it's the newspaper.
Got to get my daily reading out of the way. They came again to Jerusalem. This is so boring. And as you,
Let's just be honest. A lot of times we read the Bible and we're bored with it. And the problem isn't the Bible. The problem is us and the way we approach it. God desires to be known, to be more fully known by His people. He loves you. He loves us. He desires that we... That's why Jesus did what He did. He did it to make a way, like Brittany was saying, so that we could be with Him where He is. If someone were to offer you an all-expenses-paid trip to wherever you'd like to go, would you turn it down? Would you turn it down? Probably not. I wouldn't, if anybody wants to offer me that. I've said this like 3 times in sermons so far, but I still haven't got a vacation from any of you guys. So, no, I'm just kidding. I wouldn't turn it down. But would your response to them, if somebody offered you a trip and said, anywhere you want to go, I'll pay for it, all expenses paid. First of all, we wouldn't turn it down. Would you respond to them and say, would you say, I believe in this trip because you've offered it to me, but I don't want to go on it and become fully acquainted with it? Would you be like, I believe in this trip because you've offered it to me, but I don't want to go on the trip and I don't want to become fully acquainted with sinking my toes into the sand and getting in the water? Oh, I'm dreaming out loud right now. Would you do that though? Would you say, I believe in this trip because you've offered it to me, but I don't want to go on it and become fully acquainted with it? No, you would never say that. We would never turn down something like that. So why do we turn down God's offer to us to draw nearer and nearer to Him all the days of our life? Why? Why do we resist that so much? I think it's because we don't understand and somewhat despise the way that He has chose for that to happen. Because that way is through prayer. That way is through prayer. That way is through communion and fellowship with God in the place of prayer. It's through communion and fellowship with Him in the place of prayer. We've mostly equated prayer to like just praying for somebody or, you know, asking God for a new car or whatever. Like, you know, just asking God for things. That's one type of prayer. It's one type of prayer. But we've mostly associated prayer and relegated it for that. And then also in the church setting, we've also been like, oh, there's the super spiritual people in our midst, and those are the ones that pray. Or there's the women's group on Mondays, and those are the ones that pray. Actually, no. No. We're all called to pray. We're all called to have, He's made a way for us each to have a fascinating personal relationship with Him and to commune with Him daily in the place of prayer where we are speaking to Him and He's speaking back to us for real. For real. That is His desire. It's not just for the pastor guy with the microphone. It's not just for the crazy intercessor lady. It's not for one certain personality type in the life of the church. It's for every single believer, every single person, young and old. So what is the church? I don't know anymore. I don't know. I don't fully know anymore. I'm on a journey of figuring it out. I am. But this is what I do know. I do know that it is not what I've experienced so far. It's not just what we've experienced so far. Having a nice building and having nice chairs and having a nice projector and having a nice youth hall and having a nice kitchen and having nice bathrooms and having a nice sound system and having that nice people is not the extent of what God meant when He birthed the church. I'm thankful for those things, okay? But that is not the fullness of what God had in mind when He birthed the church. What I do know is this. I know that there's way more. I know that there's way more for us in terms of understanding what the church is. And I know this. I know that the church is first supposed to be a house of prayer. Not a house of fellowship. Not a house of evangelism. Not a house of mercy deeds. Not a house of Wednesday night meetings. Not a house of Sunday night alive services. Not a house where we have enjoy meals together. It's supposed to be all those things. But it's supposed to be all those things from first being a house of prayer. Most of you don't believe me. Turn to Mark 11, 15 through 17. You can put that up in just a minute. Mark 11, 15 through 17, if you have your Bibles. In a side note, I love you guys all. Bring your Bibles to church. I know, listen, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm really not. We're here to encounter Jesus. We're here to encounter God. And we believe that this is one of the primary ways that we can do that, but we leave it at home. That doesn't make any sense. Bring a notebook to church and take notes. We just come here and we sit here and we just listen to somebody talk. God wants to talk. What if while I'm saying something, or George or John or whoever else finds their way up here and has a microphone, is saying something, that God wants to say something to you, and you don't have your Bible and you don't have a notebook to be able to write that thing down? It's not hurting me. It's not hurting anybody else. That's unfortunate for you. I'm not saying it to be mean, but I'm saying it because, to be honest, we shouldn't have to have stacks and stacks of Bibles in the church, because you should just bring your own. No, it's good that we do, and if you need one, go get one. I'm not gonna make excuses. You either know my heart or you're judging me right now, and whatever you want to do, that's up to you. I love you. Amen. Mark 11, 15 through 17. Verse 15, when they arrived back in Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple and began to drive out the people by buying and selling animals for sacrifice. He knocked over the tables of the money changers and the chairs of those selling doves. And he stopped everyone from using the temple as a marketplace. He said to him this, the scriptures declare, this is Jesus, Jesus Christ. He said to them, not Jesus. It wasn't just a random guy named Jesus. I'm just joking. You guys aren't familiar with Mexican culture too much here. Anyways, it was Jesus, Jesus Christ, the one who we just remembered while we took communion. That guy who died for us, who bore our sin. It's him talking. Okay, yeah, verse 17. He said to them, the scriptures declare, my temple will be called a house of prayer for all nations. Other translations say, my house shall be called a house of prayer. Jesus in this scripture defines, gives the identity for the primary thing that his house will be called. And what does he say it is? Does he say it's a house of nice sound systems, nice chairs, nice projectors, and nice people? Does he say it's a house of sharing nice meals? Does he say it's a house of having nice services? Does he say it's a house for any of those things? Does he say it's a house of evangelism, a house of mercy deeds? Does he say any of that? I think I read it right. He says, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. Yet in the church at large, and even in this church, if we're honest with ourselves, that's the last thing. That's the least thing we're doing. That's the least thing the majority of the church is doing. And we're wondering why we're sending out weak believers into a chaotic culture who get burnt out really quickly. Could it be because we don't pray? Could it be that it's because we don't pray? Because if we go from that place, we go empowered. We go in faith. We go full of the Holy Spirit. We go with God's blessing. But we'd rather do anything but, unfortunately. Okay, listen. My objective this morning is to not say all these extreme sounding things and make you totally uncomfortable. Although, that is really good, actually. And the Holy Spirit likes to do that and likes to make us uncomfortable and jostle us from our lethargy, because that's the way we're unfortunately wired a lot of times, is we get into the routines. And God wants to just wake us up this morning. That's the only reason I'm sharing what I'm sharing with you today. God wants to wake us up. He wants to, I believe, teach me, but not only me, all of us, what the church truly is. And I think he wants to teach us that the church is first and foremost a house of prayer, and that everything that flows from the church should flow from the place of prayer. Okay, guess what? If you haven't realized this by now, I do not have a polished 3-point sermon for you this morning. Thank God. No, seriously. I know some of you guys wish that I had that this morning. But no, thank God that I don't, because I have something way better. We're going to, right now, in this room, experientially learn how to commune with God in the place of prayer. Brittany shared a powerful testimony about what happened to her yesterday. I was there. John was there. Jonathan was there. Gwen was there. Several people were there. And we were all profoundly impacted by this very simple thing that I'm about to show you. And it was absolutely amazing. And so what we're going to do this morning is a bit different. We're so used to just sitting there and to hearing a teaching that this will seem a bit foreign and uncomfortable at first. But I want to encourage you that the Holy Spirit lives within you. He loves to search the deep things of the Father and reveal things to you about the Father. And we are going to together explore Jesus' heart about what the church is. We're going to interactively, experientially, together look at what the church is. And God is going to speak to every single one of you. Some of you just spent, no, he's not. Yes, he is. He's going to speak to every single one of you as we do this. And how much better if God speaks to you about what the church is than if Keith speaks to you about what the church is. There's a world of difference. There's a world of difference. You can have this if you want and leave right now. Come and get it. Or we can go on a journey together. And so that's what we're going to do. Okay? It's very simple. Can I have you put that verse up? Wow, Becca. She's on top of things, man. All right, this is what we're going to do. I've asked Ruth and Jonathan to pass out some paper and pens. So every single one of you is going to get just a sheet of paper and a pen. And I encourage you, if you don't have something that, you know, hard to be able to write on, maybe somebody else, Abe, could you grab like, just grab some books or Bibles, or there's old Mount Chapel handbooks over there. Grab something sturdy for anybody who needs it, so that everybody in this room has something that they can write on. I'll give them a second to do that. All right, does everybody, I love the little children's books and everything. That's a perfect one, the handbook. All right, does every person, something we're all going to do together. So, receive the piece of paper and the pen and a book, and we'll go ahead and get started. This is really, really simple. All right, does everyone have one? Raise your hand if you don't have one. Okay, we all got it? Cool. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to do a really simple exercise in the Word of God. It's just a really simple way of studying the Bible. It's called meditation. Now, a lot of people think meditation is all these weird, hippie, New Age people. There are weird, hippie, New Age people that are doing weird forms of demonic meditation. But all throughout the Bible, we see King David meditated on the law day and night. We see all throughout the Bible that meditation is a form of prayer in the Bible. Okay, so that's what we're going to do today, is we're going to learn that form of prayer on the, today. Yeah, together. So on your paper, really quickly, at the very top, you're going to outline your paper just like I have here. So for those of you who can't see it, just let me know. I'll put it towards you. You're going to write meditation at the top right. The far right, meditation at the top left. I lied to all of you on accident. Sorry about that. Meditation somewhere in the center. And then off to the right, write tasks and thoughts. And then you're going to want to sort of make these boxes like I did. So you're going to have a tasks and thoughts box on your paper. I'll bring it around to you guys so you can see. Yeah, tasks and thoughts box on your paper. The meditation box on your paper. And then at the very bottom under those two, you're going to have a box called pursuits, okay? All right, it's really, really simple. This is the passage we're gonna work with, specifically the portion that it says, "Is it not written?" My house will be called a house of prayer. Okay, just that phrase, my house will be called a house of prayer. So write that right under the word meditation. My house will be called a house of prayer. Okay, and I'm going to quickly explain to you these boxes, tasks and thoughts, okay? So when we start this, anything that comes into your mind that derails you from thinking on that passage, you're simply just going to write it in this box. Whether it's a terrible thought, a good thought, I got to do the laundry later, I got to eat dinner, and I haven't had coffee today. Whatever it might be, any thought that is not on the scripture, my house shall be called a house of prayer, simply write it in this box. Any box, any task that you think of that you need to do, write it in this box. Now this is a really simple way. What happens a lot of times when we enter into prayer, we get easily distracted, don't we? It's easy. And so this is a very practical, simple way of taking your thoughts captive and commanding them to line up with the teachings of Jesus. So you're going, I want to meditate on this verse, and I want to see what God is saying through this verse. Because, like I said, the Word is living and active, so we can read that at a first glance, and it'll just say, my house shall be called a house of prayer. Yeah, I know what that means. No, we don't. There's depth to what that means. And so what you're going to do is anything that deviates you from focusing on that, you simply write in the tasks and thoughts column. And go, I just command that to line up, I take my thoughts captive and command them to line up the teachings of Jesus. Boom, task and thoughts column. You're sorted. You're back focused on the verse that you're trying to focus on, okay? Anything that comes up that's good, like another scripture, a cross-reference, something that maybe as you're thinking about this, you think of other things that you want to study in the Word. A lot of times what happens in prayer is that happens, and then we go on that rabbit trail. I do it all the time, really guilty of that, actually. And it's not necessarily a bad thing. It's really not a bad thing at all because you're still studying Scripture. But we don't want to focus on that right now. So as those things come up, write those verse references here. Write those thoughts down here. Does this make sense? It's very, very simple. Okay, and so what we're going to do... one other thing. On the top left of your paper, write R-W-S-S-P... like this. Just write down the paper, RWSSP. That stands for read, write, say, sing, pray. read, write, say, sing, pray. So what we're going to do, actually, Jonathan, you want to come up and jump on the piano? What we're going to do is we're going to hone in and we're going to focus on my house shall be called a house of prayer. Okay? We're going to read that over and over again. Okay? Like literally, sit there and under your breath or out loud, my house shall be called a house of prayer. My house shall be called a house of prayer. Okay? So you can read it over and again. Then you're going to write that verse over and again. Write, section that verse over and over again. Say it out loud, because faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. So if you say it out loud, you don't have to scream it so everybody in the room can hear, but say it loud enough so that your own ears can hear it. Sing it. Just sing it. The song will come up in you as you begin to meditate on this passage. Sing whatever the Lord is putting in you, whether you have a great voice or not, and pray it. Okay? So we're going to meditate on that verse. My house shall be called a house of prayer. And we're going to read it over and again. We're going to write it. Write down revelation that the Lord's giving you on it. Say it. Sing it. And pray it. It's easy enough, isn't it? It's really simple. So I'm going to do it as well. We're all going to do it together. And Jonathan's just going to do a little worship to create an atmosphere as we do that. And I just want to encourage you to hone in and focus right now and not be distracted. So, Father, I just ask you to come right now. Lord, I ask you, Lord, to just bring clarity to each one of our minds and hearts, Lord. Hone us in, Lord. Enable us to focus, Lord, on your word. God, I thank you, Lord, that what better place to study the word of God than in church together, in the fellowship of other believers. This is awesome, Lord. Now, we want to know what the church is, for real. Not what we've understood it to be. Not what man's agenda has been for it and has led us into. We want to know, God, your heart. We want to know, God, your heart. So, Father, I ask you, Lord, to help each one of us focus as we do this exercise. This very simple exercise. Help us focus. Help us take our thoughts captive and write them down in that column. And God, give us, Lord, revelation and understanding on this verse. Take us deep into what it is you mean by my house shall be called a house of prayer. Come and do that, we pray. In Jesus' name. heard something from the Lord? In other words, how many of you wrote something on your paper in response to that verse? Go ahead, raise your hands if you wrote something. God is speaking to every single one of us, isn't He? Isn't this sweet? Can you just feel the sweetness of His presence with us? This is just a small glimpse of everything He's made available to us as believers, both individually and as a corporate body. It's absolutely amazing. So, real quick, I want to have two volunteers that just come up and just share a little bit about what God was saying to you about this verse. James, actually, I'm going to pick you. James and Elizabeth. Would you guys come on? Okay, I know we went a little over, but we're almost done. So James, just read some of those things that God said to you as you're meditating on that verse.
One of the central things that while I was reading the verse over and singing it over was that my house shall be called, and I was thinking of alternatives to called, named, known as, famous for. I just started to meditate on it would be named, known as, be famous for. So that's what it is. And then I started to think of the next word, called a house of prayer, and how it's communion. I was thinking like, just to be with the Father in His presence, to be one with the Father. And I am invited. I just kept singing that over. I am invited. I'm in the house to be with the Father. I'm invited. And I just started to write the word rest out. And I was putting like a little box in the middle, and the rest for me was found in. Finding that rest and the freedom from that rest is not you, Lord Jesus. So a lot of things, but I just got really excited about the fact that it's called, it's named and known as famous Lord, being a house of prayer.
Can I share one of your distractions? It's okay to be distracted. It's just we're human, so our minds get easily distracted. But James just wrote down, sermon on Noah, because he's going to be preaching on Noah soon. So he got distracted by that. He was like, I'll write that down here and get back focused on the verse. Did anybody else, anything that James just said, anybody else have any of that on their paper? Yeah. God is speaking to us. It's awesome. All right, Elizabeth, share with us.
I was thinking about what prayer is, and that prayer is communion and fellowship with the Father, and that the reason that Jesus came in the first place was to restore relationship with the Father between us, and that it was Him that made a way for us to come and be with God. And so why should His house be anything other than prayer first and foremost, because that was the original point of Him coming, was for that communion, and that it shows us that His will and desire is to be in relationship with us, for us to pour out our hearts and be able to seek out the Father's heart, and that because from that place everything else flows. So knowing who God is, what He's saying and doing, what He thinks and says about us, and what He wants us to do, and that all comes from that place of prayer. And so what James was saying, that prayer is a conversation. It's a conversation between us and God, and God is inviting us into like a lifelong conversation with Him. And Jesus only did what the Father did, and only said what He heard the Father saying. So Jesus saying that my house will be a house of prayer is reflecting the Father's heart and the Father's desire, and that through Jesus' words it's showing us what God's heart is. And I was thinking, so what does a house of prayer look like? And it just looks like what we just did now. It's like every single person in this room was having their own conversation with God and going deeper in His word and seeking out His heart.
I And I'll just share real quick too. Anybody have similar things to what Elizabeth had done? Lord speaking, just I'll share just a little bit. I'll just wrote down a bunch of random things here, but I was focusing on his house. So I wrote, whose house? Jesus' house. It says my house. Well, who is my? Jesus. The very house of God. The place where he dwells, abides, loves to be. And then I wrote this. The Lord started speaking about the house of prayer reality is individually and corporately. You are the house, and this is the house. It's an individual reality for each of us as believers. It's our identity as believers is to walk as a house of prayer. So the question may arise in a lot of our minds, well, how does that work itself out practically in my day-to-day life? You know, I work a job, I have children, or whatever it is that you may have going on. We all have different types of things going on. But how does that work itself out practically? We just have to learn how to commune with the Lord in daily life. How to stay in that place. Listen, it's not this religious like formula. It's just about his desires becoming our desires and our desire of wanting to talk to him throughout our day and just all the little things we do in our own little way happening more and more so that we can hear him, how he feels about us when we're going through difficult things at home or at work. So we can respond and bear the fruit of Christ in the workplace when somebody makes us really mad. So it's not just about a building and a place. It's about us as individuals. We each are living, walking, breathing temples of the living God. We each are a house of prayer, but we're individual house of prayers who come together in different communities of faith like this one to be a corporate house of prayer. You see what I'm saying? And so that's what the Lord was really speaking to me. I got distracted about, to be honest, I was like, what are people thinking about this? We've never done this before. Some people left. I was like, people are leaving. Maybe they don't like it. You know, I was just thinking like, I was having some, you know, struggles there. And then I just wrote, it shall be called. Like, it shall be called a house of prayer. It shall be called a house of prayer. That really stuck out to me, the word shall. And you could dive into probably every phrase. My house shall be called a house, prayer, and the Lord will reveal more and more. I wrote this, a house that empowers. The Lord, I put your identity, the Lord said to me, your identity is in me, flows from me, is full of life, full of joy, full of faith, full of hope. These are just some of the things I wrote down. And so this is an individual reality, but it's a corporate reality. And the reason I think it is important for us to do this today is to just show every one of you that this is really simple. We don't have to do this here. We can do it at home. We can do it wherever we want to be. I found this yesterday so helpful, this little simple model. Because if I'm honest, I come to pray and I get distracted. I'm like, I got to pay this bill. I got to do this. I think of all these things. And then you never end up praying. And I was like, this is such a simple thing, isn't it? Tasks and thoughts, write them in the box. That was like amazing for me. I'm like, I could just write all that stuff in the box, take it captive, command the line of the teachings of Jesus, and focus on what I came to focus on in the Word of God. And the Lord is going to take us individually and as a church deeper into His heart for what the church is, deeper into the Word of God and actually understanding it, deeper into our walk with Him so that we are not just walking around saying we believe in stuff that we know nothing about, but rather that we are walking around full of joy, full of hope, full of peace in our identity as the fact that we are sons and daughters of the living God created in His image, that we are carriers of the presence of God, that we are living, walking, breathing temples of the living God, that we are a house of prayer that gets to meet together corporately as a corporate house of prayer, that gets to do evangelism and all the other things we do in the life of the church from the place of prayer, and that attributes everything, all the successes, to the way the Lord leads in prayer. That's how it should be. So, Father, we just thank you, God, for this day. We bless your name. Father, I pray, God, that this practice, Lord, would not just be something we do once on a Sunday, God, but that we would all see the value in it, Lord, and in our own way, God, that we would take time to do this, or but more than that, Lord, that we would just simply take time to commune and to fellowship with you in daily life, God, regardless of what we're doing, Lord, that we would be praying, that we would be speaking to you, Lord, that we would be asking you for help, that we would be in an ongoing personal conversation with the Creator of the world, because that is what you purchased for us and that's what you've made available to us. We thank you for that, Lord, and we bless your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.